Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I mean, just chaos, outright chaos. Pennsylvania is the focus of everything today, everything. Trump's in Western PA. He's fighting for the farmers. John Fetterperson says fracking's not an issue. Oh, baby, are we loaded up. Welcome to the show. Glad you are here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Cioli. I appreciate you being here today. We got a lot going on. Congressman Dan Muser is going to be here later in the show. He had to reschedule from the other day. So I got a text yesterday from my buddy David Urban. He told me he was getting on Trump Force One. He was flying with Trump to Western PA, Southwestern PA, which is where they are today. And they're touring a farm, and then they're going to go out there, and Trump's going to do a rally. We'll take some of it live for you if it happens. I don't know the exact time of the rally, but he's out there, and he's talking about two things for the farmers. Number one is the fact that China keeps buying up farmland. That's number one. Number two is the high price of everything for the farmers. The food, the gas, the fuel for their tractors, all of it, everything. And a lot of these family farms are going out of business. I think, and I said this today, I was a guest on Dana Perino's podcast, Perino on Politics, which will drop sometime this afternoon, and we'll play a couple clips on the air for you when it does. And I made this point, and the point I made is this. Are the two biggest industries in Pennsylvania, fracking and agriculture, Trump dominates in both of those industries. And I don't think Kamala Harris has a chance of cutting into those two areas. I really don't. Take fracking, for example. I mean, Fetterman's on Meet the Press yesterday going, fracking's not a big issue in this race. Of course it is. It's a huge issue. Do you realize right now as we speak, there is still a ban on liquid natural gas exports in this country, in the United States of America? We're still the... She has not even come out to oppose the administration on that. So if you're in the fracking industry, you're thinking, all right, best case scenario, best case, fracking stays exactly where it is. Worst case scenario is she puts a moratorium on it, or she scales it back, or she just outright bans it because you don't trust her on those things. But you know, with Trump, you're going to not only have fracking continue, you're going to have liquid natural gas export facilities built in Pennsylvania. You're going to have more jobs, more investment in all those areas. And the people that work in those industries aren't dumb. They know that they can't trust her on this. So that's number one. Number two, agriculture. She made a comment to the Farm Bureau, and I heard this on the news, and it's something to the effect of like, well, she didn't make the comment. One of her spokespeople did. Kamala Harris will always make sure that we have fair trade policies with China, blah, 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 blah. They don't believe that either. And these farmers, and they've seen it for the last 4 years, the fuel prices. You want to talk about inflation and how it affects you at the grocery store. It's not because big grocery is colluding together on a secret evil phone call to make sure they all have the same price on broccoli. It's that the price of broccoli has gone up because the production of that has gone up. The transportation of that has gone up. All of that has gone up because of the war on energy and the high price of fuel. So that's where the root cause of all of this is. And I think people are smart enough to know that. These farmers are certainly smart enough to know that. And I think in those two areas, you just take that alone, Trump's going to outperform in Western PA. Now look at Eastern PA, Southeastern PA, where we are. All right. So everybody keeps talking about the suburban female voters. You're in Pennsylvania. You got a governor, Josh Shapiro, who's all in on abortion. He's not going anywhere on that. So the suburban women voters, in my opinion, the economy is still the number one issue for them. And the price of food matters a whole lot more than abortion in Pennsylvania, because they know that as long as Shapiro's governor, it's not going anywhere. So they're not worried about it. It's not moving the needle on them. But here's my concern. My concern right now, and I said this on the podcast as well, is I don't know about you, but I was watching the game yesterday, and I am amazed at how many ads Kamala Harris is running. And she's running them on this radio station, too. And I said that. I said, we're a conservative talk station in Philadelphia, and she's running ads on the station. And like, people get mad at me as if it's up to me, if it's my choice or something like that. I don't control the commercials that play during this program. I only control the live reads, my endorsements, because I won't endorse something I don't believe in. But the commercials, that's the company. They, you know, and also the FCC doesn't allow us to not play political ads. We have to do that. So as long as their money, if the check clears, we got to pay them. That's how it works. But I'm just amazed at how many of her ads I'm seeing. And I'm seeing way more Kamala Harris television ads and radio ads than I am Trump. And her strategy here is to just do a bombardment, an air bombardment of advertising and then avoid the press like the plague. No debate, no second debate. See, I think Trump should debate her again. I really do. I think that when people look back on that debate now, they realize Kamala Harris didn't win. Whether or not Trump won or not is irrelevant. He didn't have to win. But Kamala Harris did have to win, and she didn't, because she didn't convince voters to trust her on the economy. There was a piece in the Inquirer today about how all these undecided voters in PA still don't know if they can trust Kamala Harris. They still don't know where she stands on these issues. And she announced today something like she's rolling out some big economic platform or something like this, what she's going to do. And they're still working on all this stuff. I mean, are you kidding me? So voters don't believe her. They don't trust her. They don't think she's authentic. Bottom line, they just don't think she's authentic. Whereas Trump, he comes out, you know the guy's authentic. You know Trump is as real as it gets. There's no surprises there. And people go, all right, life was better under him. It's worse under her. I was making more money under him. Prices were better under him. All this stuff stinks now under her. I may not like the guy, but I'm going to hold my nose and vote for him. That's what I think ultimately is going to happen in PA. I really do. And I think for suburban women voters, the abortion issue is not the issue that the media wants it to be or that the Kamala Harris campaign wants it to be. But my worry about these ads that I'm seeing all the time is that people, if they don't hear her answer any more direct questions, like if they don't see any more of these Oprah Winfrey lifestyle town hall fiestas and no more debates or anything like that, then I think about those things. And hey, Justin, do me a favor. Get ready to pot up Fox News for me. Trump is speaking. I want to just jump to this in a minute. Just give me a thumbs up when we have it. And I worry that people are going to see those commercials and it's going to sway them. That's my fear. She's spending a ton of cash. She's spending a ton of cash now, and she's going to be spending a ton of cash till Election Day. All right, let's jump in here on Fox News. The president's speaking in Pennsylvania right now.
It's the death penalty. They get the maximum penalty. They would have done it. And then we had an election that didn't exactly work out too good. And it was a disgrace, frankly. And that deal went, and a lot of other bad things happened, like Russia attacking Ukraine, October 7th, inflation. A lot of bad things happened. The horrible way we got out of Afghanistan. So many things happened that wouldn't have happened. But it did nevertheless. But as to the farmers, we have a deal in place that China is supposed to buy $50 billion worth of our product, and they are not living it up to it, and they were living up to it. And every farmer I spoke to a lot of them recently in Iowa, and they're having the same problem. They're not doing well. They were doing great during the Trump administration. I think you would say that. Were you all? I hope you. This is always dangerous to do, but I hope you'd say you were doing well, because yes, you're not doing now. I'm hearing it from farmers all over the place. And one of the big reasons is they haven't enforced the deal with China. And that deal was really a penalty deal to China, because they took advantage of you for 25 years. And it was like a penalty. And, you know, Biden and Harris, they're never going to enforce anything. That group is a disaster. It's a disaster for our country in so many ways. But certainly the farmers are one of those ways. So I think either Rick, or are you starting off, Rick? Why don't you start?
Well, first of all, Mr. President, we really appreciate you being here as part of the Protecting America Initiative. We at Protecting America Initiative see China very clearly, as we know you do. China has quietly but strategically worked against us whenever we are distracted by wars or COVID. China goes in and absolutely tries to distract the American people. They work
quietly. We're going to keep a close eye on this.
I will jump out of this as they're jumping out of this. He's in Smithton, PA right now, which is in southwestern PA, talking to farmers and talking about the effect of China on not only buying farmland, but also on products that they're infiltrating the market with. You know, a lot of times, I don't know if you know this or not, but let's take garlic, for example. Because as you know, I make pizza. I also make pasta, and I love to cook. It's my passion. Making pizza is my golf. So I posted a video on Instagram the other day with the dough, and I was making the dough. And I meant to post a follow-up video in terms of how it actually turned out, and I didn't. But I will next go around. But the point is this. Sometimes you go to the grocery store, and if you look closely, especially in bulk garlic, you'll find out it's actually made in China. Do not buy Chinese fugazi garlic. Please, I'm begging you, don't do that. Don't buy Chinese fugazi garlic. You've got to buy garlic from America. It's, and you know, and the olive oil market's a mess too. It's a whole friggin' mess. I told you years ago about this whole thing where you got the Italian mafia is involved with the olive oil, and you don't know what's really what's what, but you got to make sure you're getting the real deal olive oil from the actual olive oil farm. But China has also infiltrated that market as well. My point is, a lot of produce in America actually comes from China. So the American farmer, which is already now competing with big farm, big agro, and now you're dealing with China. And then you got another problem too, which is China's buying up a lot of meat companies too. So a lot of the big meat companies, the sausage and, you know, whatever, China owns those too. You got to be real careful about that, about where you're buying your stuff from. If you care about that, I mean, if that's a thing for you, I don't want to buy fugazi Chinese garlic. All right. I mean, I don't need that. So I went to a grocery store a couple months ago and I was looking for garlic, and I look at the, I just, you know, my reading glasses on. So I put my glasses on. Thinks I got to wear these now. Right. I don't know. I only need them to read. I don't want to wear contacts. I got those drops, which are supposed to help. They don't freaking help. At least not me. I forget to put them in. Anyway, point is, I hope I look okay with the glasses. We're streaming on YouTube, so, you know, say something nice. Don't say nothing mean, baby. We're live on YouTube. But my point is, I look down, it says made in China on the garlic. I said, what the hell? Why are we, what is this? But I didn't realize how much produce actually is made in China. And you don't think about it. You know, you don't think about it. Like right now, for example, with the season, the growing season, if I can stop at a local farm stand, like I did yesterday, we had Patrick's game, and then on the way back, we stopped at a farm stand. I loaded up on Jersey fresh corn and blueberries, and I think the blueberry season might be over, but tomatoes, all kinds of great stuff, trying to support the local farmers. It's a big deal. But there's another factor, too, which is that you've got the whole green energy lunatics. They're also coming after the farmers because they want to be able to have this control over things like beef cattle. They don't like cows. Cows toot. And they say cows tooting is bad for the environment because of methane, and it creates, you know, the cow exhaust, whatever it is. They don't want dairy cows. That's why they don't want this stuff. And there's more international coalitions now that are trying to shut down agriculture, and they want it all done in a lab, you know, lab meat, and they want almond milk and soy milk. And there's nothing wrong with those products, especially if you can't drink milk, but I'm just saying, like, they don't want cows, you know, so dairy farmers are threatened. And I'm all for competition. So, if you want oat milk, that's fine. But what the problem is, the government gets involved in this nonsense. You have people that are working to try to get rid of dairy and get rid of cattle altogether because of the environment and climate change. And they also say the same thing. They go, well, livestock creates a big burden on the environment with the grazing and everything else and the whatnot. And they want to see all that go away, too. And in Pennsylvania, the two biggest industries are agriculture and fracking. So those are our two biggest industries in the state. Trump is on the side of both of those. And this is where the ball game really comes down to. You look at the map of Pennsylvania in 2020. So Trump wins the whole state, with the exception of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and the collar counties outside of Philadelphia. Otherwise, it's all red. Pennsylvania is a sea of red, shining sea of red. Well, then the question becomes, can you outperform the cities with the suburban voters, and can you also perform in the rural voting areas? And I got some good news on the numbers front today. My buddy Linda Curran sent me this, protectthevote.com, signed up to be a poll watcher. They got new numbers on registration coming out. So Democrats, they have about 8,000 new registrations. I'm just going to round up. They represent about 28% of the new voter registrations. Republicans are at about 13,000 new registrations. They're at about 45% of new registrations. So they're outpacing them big time, which is good. That's a very, very good thing. And I saw a tweet from Scott Pressler that they flipped Luzerne County, and they got more Republicans registered in Luzerne County than before. So that's good. That's also a very, very big thing there. And then the question becomes, will voters in the collar counties of Philadelphia, you know, I'm talking about Monco and Delco and Bucks County, and will they, where will they be in this election? That's the ball game right there. And I think personally, for a lot of those voters in 2020, they thought, all right, Trump mean tweets. And, you know, maybe we can also have a situation where we'll have the old man in the basement keep us safe from COVID and mean tweets or whatever. But now they're paying the bills for that. They're paying the bills. And the only way that the Democrats are trying to move the needle on them, and I'm talking about people who are upper middle class voters, is abortion. So that issue does not, I don't think it moves them. If you watch Kamala Harris's ads closely, she's appealing to the middle class, she says, by saying, we're going to give you first-time home buyer credits. We're going to give you $50,000 to start a business, $25,000 to buy a home. I think that middle, upper middle class voters know they're paying the bill for that. You know what I mean? Like, they're paying the bill because the middle class is not what the middle class really, really, truly is. I think that from the Democrats' perspective, the middle class are people making like $40,000, $50,000 a year. Anybody above that in their mind is well-to-do and well-off, and you know that that's not the case. Not in this part of the country, not if you've got kids, no friggin' way, right? But you're paying the bill. You're going to foot the bill for all that. I think these voters know that. So as a one-time, on the one hand, I'm worried about all the commercials Kamala Harris is running because I think people can be low-information swayed by these things. But on the other hand, she keeps talking about all these gimmies, you know, these giveaways. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that. People got to wake up and go, well, who's paying for that? I'm paying for that. I don't want to give somebody $25,000 for them to down for a down payment. I didn't get that. I don't want to give somebody $50,000 to start a business. I didn't get that when I started my consulting company years ago. So, I mean, I think people look at that and they go, this is not what we want. And I don't want to foot the bill for this. And they're very, very nervous about Kamala Harris on the economy. I mean, the polling data that's out keeps showing Pennsylvania's in the statistical tie. But what the crosstabs keep saying, and that's what I always look at, is what the voters are saying. Because people will lie about who they vote for, but they always tell the truth about why they're voting or what issues drive them. They still say they trust Trump more in the economy. They keep saying that. They say that over and over again. And Fetterman is nuts, man. He thinks that fracking's not going to be an issue in this campaign, and he's nuts. And he was on Meet the Press yesterday. So let's cue this up, Matt. Let's cue up cut number two. He was talking about and refusing to say why he and Kamala have flip-flopped on fracking. Because don't forget, Fetterperson was against fracking, too. I'm not going to bring gender into this and call him John Fetterman. It's Fetterperson, all right? Keep gender out of it. He was against it before he was for it. Oh, on that note, after listening to Dom's conversation with Dan and Henry, I am back to saying niche. I used to say niche, and then people told me it was niche. Then after listening to those two yahoos, I'm back to saying niche. So now it's a niche. I'm with Dom. It's niche. So fracking was a niche issue, and Fetterman was against it, and so was Kamala Harris. And now they're acting like it's no big deal that they flip-flopped on this. Cut two.
I know you've talked about this quite a bit. Vice President Harris, as you know, once supported a ban on fracking when she was running for president in 2020. She even sued the Obama administration to prevent fracking off California's coast. Now she says she will not ban the practice as president. Why should voters trust that that is really what the vice president believes?
It's so strange why we just keep talking about fracking. Now, back in 2020, I said that that might be an issue, but it's not going to be a defining issue. And now in 2024, we're still trying to talk about fracking. And now the other side, they're talking about eating cats and geese and dogs and saying absurd things and talking about how if Trump doesn't win, he said that, you know, you have to blame the Jews on that and just absurd things. You know, like having a serious policy conversation when the other side is just absolutely on fire, and here's where we are, and here we are also that it's going to be very close in Pennsylvania, and it's not going to be defined by fracking.
Well, well, we are talking about it because, of course, it supported 120,000 jobs back in 2022. Let me read you some of what you have said about
fracking
in 2016.
Can you just pause it for a second? Let's unpack. For real, Trump didn't say he's going to blame the Jews if he lost. He didn't say that. What he was talking about was Jews in this country should vote for Trump because of his policies on Israel. They're excellent, and his support for Israel. I'm going to talk more about this as the show goes on. I think this is an undercurrent that we're not fully appreciating here, which is the level of people who are Democrats and they're Jewish and they're going to vote for Trump because of Israel. I really do believe there's an undercurrent of that. Trump wasn't saying he was going to blame the Jews. That's the typical media taking what he said out of context. What his point was that if Jewish voters don't come out for him and he loses, you could say that about any demographic, right? Say that about carpenters. Like if the carpenters are come out from vote for me and I lose, yeah, it's going to be on them. Yeah, they should come out because then they're going to pay the price with policy. It's not blaming the Jews. Like trying to see Fetterman is He should know better than that, honestly, especially because he just got an award last week at the same dinner that I was at with Dom, where they honored Judith Krupnik at the ZOA of Philadelphia. And they gave him an award for his passionate commitment to Israel. Don't twist Trump's words and make it sound like he's Hitler blaming the Jews. Like, stop that. That's a lie. And you know it's a lie, Fetterman. Like, enough. The second point on that is when John Fetterman ran for Senate, it was a much different election than a presidential election. It was a much different situation. It's an off-year election. I mean, the presidency was not on the ballot. It was a different election. It was him and Oz. And I'm sorry, but you cannot equate the two. This is a presidential election year. And fracking as a senator versus fracking as president are two totally different things, especially when the White House right now has a ban on liquid natural gas exports. And people are smart enough to know that, yeah, the president can wield enormous power on this. A senator, not so much, but a president can. The president can sign an executive order. No more liquid natural gas exports, like what Joe Biden has done, for example. All right, let's keep going.
2022. Let me read you some of what you have said about fracking. In 2016, you called it a stain on Pennsylvania. In 2018, you said you don't support fracking at all. But then in 2022, you said you absolutely support fracking. Senator, what exactly do you like about fracking now?
It's strange for some weird gotcha kind of taking quotes out of context. And, you know, here I am now. I'm the United States Senator, and I won by 5 points, a record margin back in 22. And again, it might be an issue in fracking, and I fully support fracking. So does the Vice President Harris. And now if you want to have a serious conversation about policy, then I would challenge Trump and Vance to have one other than talking about eating pets.
And we'll have plenty of questions Senator Lindsey Graham. There's no
eating the pets. See now what they do when they go back to that, as if that the only focus of the campaign is that Haitian immigrants are eating dogs and cats. They keep going back to that. Like, well, that's the only focus of this campaign. I got news for you. If you're a guy who works in the fracking industry, or you're in these towns in PA where fracking is a substantial part of the town base, the industry, the bars, restaurants, everything like this, you've seen the devastation that coal plant shutting down has done to American cities. You know, part of the opioid crisis was coal-fired plants shut down, people were out of jobs, and there's depressed areas in the country, and there's a whole thing. I mean, you could go down that rabbit hole if you want to, but people see where the communities get destroyed. They don't give a damn about the eating dogs and cats thing. What they care about is this president going to protect my industry or not? You think a farmer who's driving a tractor and knows how expensive fuel is and how expensive he's got to charge for his produce just to make a living as they're shutting down family farms, you think he cares that Trump brought up eating dogs and cats? No. But it's funny how the Democrats keep going back to that, huh? I'm telling you, they don't care. It's not what they think, but they have no policy to actually run on. So they're trying to just redirect. It's the redirect. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. My buddy, my friend, and the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. We're streaming live on YouTube. So join us and chat away. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Well done. I don't know if you can see I was dancing. I don't know if there's a delay on this. I'm watching myself. It's kind of trippy. I can see some of your comments. What do you think about the reading glasses, by the way? Let me know. Let me know what you think. So it's kind of trippy watching myself, and this is my giant head in the background. Anyway, we're streaming live on YouTube. I'll be streaming live from the home studio as well. We're going to be streaming now 3 hours of the show every day for forever. That's our plan anyway. Right, Matt, the Sancta Traitorist? That's the plan. Let's see if you can talk. Can you talk?
That is the plan. Yeah, I can talk.
So we're trying a thing where Matt's remote right now. Let's see how you sound. Let's just say some things right now.
Check, Rich. How do I sound?
You sound like you're talking on a Vietnam era radio, like you're calling in an airstrike. Yeah, like the ones you used to pull up.
It sounds that bad?
What do you think, Justin? Does he sound good, or does he sound like...
It's definitely not the microphones that we have here in studio.
No. What are you using? Like, what's some, like, Fugazi microphone are you using?
It's a headset that engineering gave me.
The headset.
It very well may date back to Vietnam, actually.
Yeah, it might, yeah. Well, we may have to get you a better microphone. We had this during COVID, too, where we had to get Stalker a good microphone. But you got to get set up with the right stuff. You don't want to sound like you're doing a bad sports broadcast every time I pull you up on the air. You know what I mean? See, DeSantis would like it if I never brought him on the air, though. That's what he's hoping for.
Now that
you're remote, because are you even like dressed? Are you in pajamas? Like, what are you doing?
I didn't change out of my pajamas, if that's what you're asking.
That's what I figured, right? See that? That's what happens. We didn't need to know that. You could have just said you got dressed for the day. You didn't have to tell us that.
And he's 2 hours behind.
I don't want to lie
to
the audience.
To enjoy more of the day than we do.
He's 2 hours behind. Where are you right now?
I'm in Phoenix right now. I'm actually 3 hours behind you.
3 hours behind us. Wow. All right. So what time is it there? I'm not a math guy. 12:30?
Yeah, 12:34.
Lower the modulation. That's what Chris Eppolito says. Your modulation's too much. You sound. And Kimmy likes my glasses. Aw, thanks, Kimmy. You're a sweetie. The modulation's off. Maybe the microphone's too close to your mouth. Have you thought about that? Try to push it back a little bit. Try it now. Let's see.
How's it sound now?
It sounds worse. Put it back where it was.
Oh.
Don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm doing. Why would you listen to me? Please.
You sounded like you knew.
No, but, you know, we got to get Tommy McDonald to help out. He's a genius when it comes to this stuff. He can figure all that stuff out. And, you know, my home studio, you can't tell the difference when I'm home versus in the studio. The audio quality is as good. You know why? Because I don't use a freaking headset. That's why. It's all right. Are you in your mascot costume, your Harvard mascot costume? That's what people want to know right now. Is that true? Huh?
I was not the Harvard mascot. There is no Harvard mascot, and I don't have a Harvard mascot costume.
DeSantis sounds like he just woke up, doesn't he, Justin? Like he just got out of bed?
Yeah.
Yeah, like rolled out of bed. I mean, it's 12:30 there, so that's about right. And he just started his day. It's noon, you know? Why don't you go have a cup of coffee with my next monologue? Why don't you go do that? Go get yourself a nice cup of coffee. Maybe espresso? Have a little espresso. Or Coca-Cola. Why don't you get yourself get yourself a Coca-Cola. What do you think? DeSantis.
Well, now I lost you completely.
Are you
sorry,
there?
I lost you completely now. There might be an internet issue because now I completely lost you.
I can hear you and you can't hear me. This is great. We're off to a great start. Why don't you not use dial-up freaking internet and actually get a broadband connection? Why don't we try that? Oh, this is terrible. Justin,
try that. Yes.
Shut him down.
Yeah.
Just shut him down completely. We got to fix it. It's day one. It's all right. We'll get there. I don't care. I could care less.
We're learning.
We're learning as we go. It's all right. You know, the whole beauty of this is that we don't plan anything. It all goes to hell, and then we just, you know, roll with it. So that's it. That's how it goes. But at least DeSantis can play audio, so that's good. We know that. He can do that, so that's good. So Trump's going to speak at a rally in Western PA today. We're going to talk to Congressman Dan Muser about that. I got some great stuff for you, though. And this Trump assassination suspect, there's a lot of weird things with this guy, huh? Wrote a chilling letter months before he went and tried to do the thing. Apparently, he had 6 cell phones. Guy had no cash. He's offering a $150,000 reward for somebody to whack Trump. Who's behind all this? It's like the same thing with the shooter, you know, Thomas Crooks, that guy whose body has been cremated and there was no toxicology report. How did that guy have all these international phones and how was he able to get on that roof and everything? I really do believe. I mean this. You can call me a conspiracy theorist all you want. I think there is a plot here. There is a plot to kill Trump. There's no question about it. It's the same thing with Abraham Lincoln. Look, you have to realize that presidential assassinations are actually not cheap. It takes a lot to pull off. You have to, it takes money. So John Wilkes Booth, when he assassinated Abraham Lincoln, he had the whole Confederate States of America, which was dissolving at the time because the Union had won and the South had surrendered and the CSA surrendered. But there was a money line that flowed from New York, Canada, and they got it to John Wilkes Booth. They had an escape route for him to get him to Virginia, which he was going to get into Richmond. And the theory was be hailed a hero and they would reinstate Jefferson Davis as the president of the CSA. And, you know, there's real questions around whether or not Jefferson Davis was behind all this or not, and whether or not Lincoln tried to assassinate him because they didn't recognize the Confederate States of America as a country. But my point is, there was a money. You follow the money, and John Wilkes Booth had a lot of it funneled to him, as were the people that helped with the conspiracy, because they tried to overthrow the government in that assassination attempt. Obviously, the assassination attempt on Secretary Seward. So the point is, there's money behind Crooks, and there's money behind this guy, Ralph. And we're supposed to pretend like these guys are just managed to get where they got without any help, no issues with transportation, logistics, phones, and then all this stuff shows up and then disappears. Like the body of the shooter in Butler, gone, cremated, no toxicology report, no answers to all these questions we have. Then this guy goes into court, is back with all this money. Where does it come from? At least he's alive. So hopefully we can get some answers on this. The whole point about killing Crooks, Crooks was never going to get out of there alive. Never. I mean, that was, they probably made him think he was. It's very possible. You know, it's lots changed since John Wilkes Booth assassinated Abraham Lincoln, obviously. But Booth thought he would escape. They had a whole escape plan for him. And there was a whole escape route. They might have told Crooks he was going to get out of there alive, and they may have even told him how they were going to do it, but he was never getting out of there alive. You know, they wanted that to end right then and there, and there would be no trail of suspects, and that would be the end of it. And it kind of is, right? We don't know anything. We know that he had international communications. We know that he had all these encrypted phones. We know that he had the... But beyond that, he's a ghost. He's a ghost, and now he's a cremated ghost. Just disappears. And we don't know the toxicology. We don't know what kind of drugs he was on. We don't know what they were giving him. But, and it's strange how it just goes away. You notice that? It's just like it never happened. I mean, there was an assassination attempt on the former and I think future president of the United States. And it's like it didn't happen. It's almost like it was a bad dream or something. And then this guy, Ralph, is spending 12 hours in the bushes at the golf course and manages to poke a rifle through and... And how to get there, and there's something here. You know what I mean? Like my Fugazi radar is up on this, and I think there is an organized effort to fund people to try to kill Donald Trump. And I have a real problem with that. As I look at things right now, I'm very concerned by this. And the other point too that I want to make is that if you think about history. And not just United States history, but world history, too, civilization history. There's been a lot of coup d'etats in the world and throughout the history of time. Assassination plots, successful and otherwise, there's been all these things. But one thing that I think is very clear here with Trump is that he represents a great threat to people that are making a lot of money off the war in Ukraine. Do you know where Zelensky is today? He's in Pennsylvania. Governor Josh Shapiro welcomed Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, at the Philadelphia International Airport. And he puts out a video. He's proud to welcome Zelensky to Ukraine. Then they start touring ammunition plants. And Zelensky's taking shots at Trump and shots at J.D. Vance. He's like campaigning, you know, for Harris, basically. But it was, yeah, this war. And somebody asked me out in the hallway. They said, how is it Putin can't kill him? Well, he could if he wanted to. He doesn't want to. This war, everybody's making money on this war. Ukraine's making money. Russia's making money. Russia's making a lot of money on this war. Oh my God, they're making oodles of cash on this war. They are making so much money right now. And then the United States is making money on this. Our defense industrial complex, the military industrial complex. Which brings me to another point, which is that, do you know how many people signed onto a letter to say that they are going to back Kamala Harris for president of the United States of America? 741 former military and national security officials endorse Harris and say Trump is unqualified, impulsive, and ill-informed. It's kind of like the Hunter Biden letter, right? 51 former. In an open letter released by National Security Leaders for America, 741 bipartisan former national security officials endorse Harris for president, calling Trump impulsive and ill-informed. So think about this. You got the deep state, like literally the deep state. She was also endorsed over the weekend by the IRS Agents Union. So you got the IRS agents and the deep state, Cheney, they're all in on Kamala Harris. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Now, if the Ukraine war represents a massive, I'd say, all in between what Russia's making, what Ukraine's making, what the military industrial complex is making, probably $1 trillion, the lives of the Ukrainian soldiers, the lives of the Russian soldiers, these are the peste navante. They don't matter. They don't matter. And everybody's making money on this. Trump represents a direct threat to that. You don't think they want to take him out? So, you know, you can say that that's crazy, but isn't it crazier to think that the guy who gets off shots at Butler and almost kills him, his body's cremated weeks later, there's no tox report, and there's no trail of the assassins to figure out what his international connections were, how he was able to have encrypted phones in the first place. Like, how do you just get an encrypted phone? I don't have an encrypted phone. I got a friggin' iPhone. I mean, they say it's got high security, it's private and everything like that, but it's not like what he had. This Routh guy had six phones, all encrypted as well. Like, come on. What's going on here? What's happening here? And the Secret Service, we're going to also pretend like it's just a lack of resources. And yeah, but they're exploiting that lack of resources. And what if you have a mole inside there? What if you have a mole? Wouldn't it be the first time that we've had a mole inside our government? You know, that's been a thing, right? Both countries, like during the Cold War, this was a big thing where we would try to get a mole working in the Russian side and they would get moles in the United States military. This is a thing. So what do we have a mole working inside the United States government that, within the Department of Homeland Security, possibly within the Secret Service? Have we explored that option as well? I mean, are we worried about this? Are we concerned about this? Or have we reached a point now where all you got to do to suppress that is just go, ah, conspiracy, and shut it down because people are so afraid of being labeled with that moniker? Which I understand. Why, though, after COVID? Like, why would you be? After all the crap that they told us was true that turned out to not be true. But there's a big saying in life, you know, judge somebody by the character of the company they keep. When you got people like Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Chuck Hagel, William Cohen, Dick Cheney, and all these other people coming out. I mean, the swampiest swamp deep creatures coming out and backing Kamala Harris. I think that tells you everything you need to know about the war industrial complex and how much power they actually have. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We're streaming live on YouTube right now. We're excited to be here. It's a Monday, but I'm feeling good. I actually I've had a migraine for like 24 hours, but you can't even tell, right? That's why I'm a pro. I just keep going. That's what I do. But I'm fired up because I'm excited. We're going to be at the Grand Hotel in a couple weeks, Friday, October 11th. Mark your calendar. I want to see you there. My happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, Friday, October 11th. But I also want to say thank you to Cherry Hill Volvo, because they have an amazing back-to-school special going on right now at Cherry Hill Volvo. You can lease a 36-month lease, 2024 front-wheel drive S60. It's a great front-wheel drive car for only $369 a month. And relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. I say it all the time. My dear friend Judith Krupnik, it was an honor to be on the stage with her last week when she was honored with the ZOA Pillar of the Community Award. She does so much for the community, so much for our cops and first responders. And she's a great person, and she always does what's right. You can also get a 36-month lease on the exciting C40 for only $369 a month. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception, except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. Judith Yosef and the entire Cherry Hill Volvo team look forward to seeing you and giving you an incredible experience. They always work to get you the absolute best deal on a Volvo, and you will love the treatment you get at Cherry Hill Volvo because they pride themselves on relationships matter. And you're going to love driving the S60. What a beautiful sedan. Only $369 a month for a 36-month lease. Only at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So funny. I walk Patrick to the bus stop in the morning. Yeah, the thing about doing afternoon drive versus mornings is that I'm with the kids. I got the kids in the morning, which is great. And so I get to walk him to the bus stop and I take Reagan to her preschool. It's fun and I love it. It's such a joy for me. Patrick takes an earlier bus than Claire does now. And so I walk him to the bus stop and we hang out and he goes, "Dad, I hate Mondays." I said, "Yeah, pal, I hear you. I know it's the same. It doesn't and never changes, you know, your whole life." But he's almost 10. He's like, "Oh, I hate Mondays." I'm like, "I know." I said, but look at it this way. We're almost to Friday, if you think of optimistically speaking. So then I take Claire to the bus stop, and my daughter dresses like Punky Brewster. She's so cute. She wears these like rainbow socks and a pink dress and a red shirt. Like she's her own little character. She just headbands and she's, you know, she's 8 years old. Adorable, right? And she's like, "I'm so excited for see my friends." Like, she's so happy. Kids are happy. Reagan's happy. Kids. I love that. I really do. Like, I love that time with the kids in the morning. It's a lot of fun. And I also love the fact that when, you know, they get older, as they get older and they start doing more and more activities, they're going to start coming on the show, just like Jimmy Fallon does with his son, Lincoln. I talked to Reagan about this morning. about being my co-host on a show. If you remember years ago, I had Patrick on the show when he was just a baby. We were back at 400 Market back then. So Reagan wants to be a co-host. I told her she can come on the show. We'll do that. Maybe try to pull that off this week if we can possibly pull it off. Be a lot of fun. But one of the ads I noticed during the Eagles game yesterday was the ad where they attacked Kamala Harris for wanting to pay for transgender surgeries for children and for prisoners. I think that's a big deal. I really do. And I think that matters a lot with parents. I talk to parents. I'm telling you, this stuff matters to them. They're very worried about the indoctrination of their kids in school. You know, an advantage I have is that I'm at that age now where I go to the bus stop. Bridget does pick up in the afternoon, but I'm there. I talk to parents at the bus stop. They know who I am, and they you know, they're not afraid to share their opinions on stuff. And they're all very worried about this indoctrination, the woke culture. It's all there. And speaking of Governor Shapiro and Zelensky, so Zelensky and Shapiro, Governor Josh Shapiro signed an artillery shell with Zelensky in the background. And he declared that Pennsylvania was the arsenal of democracy. And he said this with a bunch of people in the background here at an artillery facility. Do we have the audio of this, Matt? Is there audio too?
There is audio, but it's not worth playing. It doesn't sound very good.
The United States is going to give another $375 million military dollars to Ukraine. And there's Josh Shapiro signing an artillery shell. I'm telling you, this Ukraine thing, this is why they want to stop Trump. They do. I told you in 2015 and 2016 why they wanted to stop Trump, why they wanted to stop him in 2020. The war industrial complex. I'm not the first guy to warn about this, you know. That conspiracy kook Dwight Eisenhower warned us about this. That guy was nuts. Bill's in Bordentown. Bill, how are you?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
This is Joe from Bordentown.
Oh, Joe, I'm sorry. How you doing, Joe?
Okay. I have two things to tell you about what you were talking about.
Yes.
Over a decade ago, the Chinese bought a lot of abandoned coal mines in Pennsylvania where they grow mushrooms. So the mushrooms that you're putting on your pizza are owned by the Chinese.
Not my mushrooms. I make sure they aren't.
Okay. And the other thing is you were talking about Lincoln.
Yeah.
John Wilkes Booth's actor brother saves the son of Lincoln from being hit by a subway train in New York.
Yeah, I remember that. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
What year is that, Joe?
Oh, well, it was before the assassination. It must have been in like the 1850s.
That's crazy. That's one of those weird history things. Huh.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's funny. And then what's there's a connection too with like Lincoln and Kennedy, right? Like wasn't
Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln, and Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy.
That crazy stuff. History is funny. All right, buddy. Thank you for the call. You have a wonderful day, and I will not put Chinese fugazi mushrooms on my pizza. I will not do it. By the way, pro tip, if you do put mushrooms on your pizza, what you need to do first is drain the water out of them. They have got a lot of moisture, and they will make your pizza soggy. And it will not be good. So just take that pro tip from me. You're welcome. And of course, as we know, the Zeoli Army, no pineapple on pizza. So this guy, Ralph, in court today, wrote a note. And here's something else that's coming out about Kamala Harris. She joined a protest in 2018 against deportations. Yep, chanting along about stopping deportations. But she says she's going to outline a vision for the economy this week. I have a little bit of that for you, and we'll play that as soon as we get back from the break. But I want to ask you this question, and I want you to think about this. Don't you think it's a little bit late to start talking about a vision for the economy? She had her shot at that debate, and she did not. And she didn't close it, and that was one and done. In my opinion, she lost the election that night. I really do believe that. I believe it. I believe Trump's going to win. I believe he's going to win Pennsylvania. I believe he's going to win the presidency. And I think the reason why is because Kamala Harris lost that debate. I'm not saying Trump won. There doesn't have to be a winner and a loser. I'm just simply saying she lost. She did not do what she needed to do that night, which is to convince people to trust her on the economy. And it's too little, too late. Minds have been made up. You're not changing them at this point with 44 days to go. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.